for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday afternoon, December the 29th, 2014. Jane Hunt is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Unity in the Church.
You know, it's an honor and it's a privilege to stand here. It's an honor and a privilege to be in Lake Hamilton. Honor and a privilege for the things that I've learned here and the things I've been taught and things I'm still learning. And it's just such a joy for me to be a part of this place. And you know, there's not very many places that you can go where you fit.
Amen.
Anybody ever found a place like that that you don't quite fit?
Amen.
There's a lot of those around.
Amen.
And so
everybody knows.
We have those places where we don't fit. This afternoon, I want to minister to you or teach to you about unity in the church, unity with the Father, unity in the Spirit, and without unity, there is nothing that's going to really go right in our lives. And one thing that keeps us from receiving from the Lord is the fact that we're not in unity. I believe unforgiveness is one of the biggies. We're going to deal with that. We'll do some deliverance at the end, and we'll deal with a lot of those things. How many of you have ever been offended in church? Oh. How many of you have ever offended someone else? Yeah. So, and sometimes we want to carry those offenses. We want people to pay for the way that they treated us. We want to get even. We want revenge. And you might as well admit it, you've been there. And we all have. But you know, God wants to set us free from all of those things, and He's working on us. We're works in progress. We're not all the way there. And so, but offenses will come. The Bible says that because of the word's sake, offenses will come. Now, what you do with that is what is important and how you deal with that. Now, when we come into the presence of the Lord, I believe that there are three levels that we come into. Now, being a worship leader, being a praise leader, you know I'm going to have to say something about praise and worship this afternoon. But I believe that our praise leads us into worship, and then our worship should lead us into the glory of God. And in order to talk about these things, we have to talk about praise and worship. We have to talk about Him. And so, it's just like, praise is just like opening the door and saying, come on in. You know, if someone comes to your house and you invite them, you don't stand there at the door. If you know them, you just tell them to come on in the house. Come on and make yourself comfortable. Can I get you something to drink? And have a seat. You know, let's visit a while. That's kind of like what praise does for our spirit man. It brings us in to His presence. It brings us into a relationship with Him. And praise is we praise until worship comes. We worship until the glory comes. And sad to say that in most churches, a lot of people will come to praise. They will reach that level. They're satisfied with that level. A lot of people will go from praise into worship, and they're content with that level. But very few places can you go where the glory of the Lord really is revealed. And the reason for that not happening is because we have harbored unforgiveness in our hearts. We've harbored ill against our neighbor. And so we're supposed to praise until worship comes, and when worship comes, we stand in the glory. And I'm be sad to say, you know, for many years I felt like my worship and my praise was unacceptable to God. I didn't know how to worship. I still don't know how to worship. I hope I never reach the level where I think that I have arrived and I know everything there is about worship. Because, see, there's so many facets of it. He moves in so many different ways. He doesn't just move in one or two ways. You know, there's never two services the same. Have you noticed that? And He is a God of variety. And I love it when it's like that. But very few places can you go where you really get into the glory. And when you get into the glory of God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I mean, you're just standing there and he can roll you up and throw you down the street if he wanted to. It wouldn't bother you at all because of we're in his glory. Now, what does praise do for you? Well, praise is an instrument of harvest. And it's always a voice of victory. Praise is victory. If your football team scores a touchdown, what do? You jump up and down and you praise that team because they've scored a victory. Praise is always victory. But a lot of people have been praising the Lord for years and have never entered into worship or stood in the glory of God. Now, when praise shifts into worship, a lot of people are afraid of becoming too emotional. You know, we've got to keep things in order. We've got to keep this thing like it's supposed to be. We can't allow things to get out of order. If we would get out of the way, there's no telling what God might do. God is big enough to take care of his business. He's big enough to set things in order. All he wants us to do is to get out of the way and let him. And, well, I would have done so and so, but I was afraid. You know, I'm not from there, and I'm not from that church, and I don't need to get there and say something. They're gonna run me out. If God gives you something to say, you better say it. To obey is better than to sacrifice. But be sure that it's the Lord speaking to you. Amen? Now, we sow praise into the heavens with our praise. It ascends into heaven. And God sows it back into the earth. Our praise comes back down. You know? And we have liberty when you praise the Lord. Now, you could sit back there and we've all been in places where people didn't audibly praise the Lord, and it's dry. But when we praise Him audibly, it gives us liberty. It releases something in us when we open our mouths and we begin to declare His healing. We begin to declare His miracles. We begin to declare His answers to prayer. We tell what He's done. We praise Him for what He's done in our life. We praise Him for deliverance. We praise Him for saving our children. We praise Him for that. Our voices are like trumpets. And trumpets are sounding forth victory. Do, 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 do. We're still, that was a rooster crow, wasn't it? But our voices are like trumpets. We're sounding forth victory. I'll keep you entertained, so don't worry about it. I don't want you to go to sleep on me. But praise is an instrument of harvest. It harvests not only our souls, but, you know, it's hard to go into a place and everybody's praising the Lord and you're just sitting there doing nothing. It's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, when you come in, you want to get into it. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. And we're coming together to praise and to bring, give Him glory and honor. And so praise creates an atmosphere where miracles can occur and where the miraculous things of God can take place. And if the praise service is good and the worship is good, then the preaching is good, isn't it? And I don't know if God has cleaned us up and got us out of the way where we can hear the word or whether that this has ushered in the anointing. The praise will bring the anointing, and the anointing will break the yoke. The praise is celebration. Do you ever think about that? Look at David when he came back into town that day.
Yes.
Dancing in the streets of Jerusalem, uninhibited. Oh, now that was not a very kingly thing to do, was it? And he pulled off his outer garment and was dancing. They called it naked before the Lord, but he had an outer garment on. He just pulled it off. He was so excited to be celebrating about God. And, you know, the Jewish people today have not lost their desire to dance. God is a celebrating God. What did Moses sing whenever this is Carla's song. I will triumph gloriously for the horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea. Miriam took the tambourine and she led the people into praise and into dancing after they crossed the Red Sea because of the victory. So praise is celebration. And now we don't have much problem with singing and shouting. And Brother Gerald back there, I was blessed by the way he was dancing. He's not too young anymore. I don't think he's as old as his beard makes him look, but he's not too young anymore. Preach with me, Gerald. And but you know, he was just as limber as he could be.
Amen.
And we don't have any problem with singing or shouting or saying amen. But where has the dance gone in the church?
Right.
Where is it?
Right.
Where is it?
Glory.
I mean, you know, I have all kinds of excuses when I don't, because I never learned to dance in the natural. I was raised on a farm. We was too busy feeding chickens and milking cows to learn to dance and go to parties and stuff. But, and then I've got this excuse. Well, I get to play the piano. I'm sitting up there. I don't have to get up and dance. But you know, one of these days, the Lord's going to get a hold of me just right.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to get up from behind that piano, and there's no telling what's going to take place in this down these aisles of this place. That's my desire, is to dance before the Lord, because I know what a joy it was for David when he danced before the Lord. I mean, to come in uninhibited, and how it was a celebration. And sometimes I might say, I'm too fat. When I get another 50 or 60 pounds off, then I can dance. Have you ever, and, well, I've got a bad knee. We can make all kinds of excuses, can't we? But could we not praise him with the dance when we wanted to?
Amen.
All right. And so we praise him with shouting. We praise him with song. So why not praise him with the dance? So, you know, I'm going to start praying one of these days for the Lord to release the spirit of dancing in this place.
Right.
Dancing in the streets. Of, this is our Jerusalem here. And dance in the streets to declare the glory of God and to bring in the freedom. To bring in the freedom that comes with that.
Yes.
Now, praise is also warfare.
Yeah.
When you stop and you think about it, it changes the atmosphere in your home. It'll change the atmosphere in your workplace.
Yeah.
Instead of murmuring and complaining about something, why not just begin to praise Him? You know the Word says that bitter and sweet water cannot flow from the same fountain. And you can't praise something and be finding fault with it all the time. So if you've got a fault-finding spirit, start praising the Lord. That may help cure that fault-finding spirit. Psalms 34, it says, I will praise the Lord at all times.
Yes.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Yes.
All right, so we've got the scripture that tells us that His praise is to be in our mouths. What happens to the praise? Why don't people praise the Lord? And you know, if they know you're going to praise the Lord when you're in a workplace in a bad situation, it's going to stop a lot of those bad situations sometimes. People are murmuring and complaining. You say, well, I just want to praise the Lord for His goodness to me today. I want to praise the Lord for allowing me to be alive and to have a job and to work and allowing me to breathe and allowing me the ability to stand and praise Him. Now, he says, sing unto the Lord a new song. What is the new song? We keep asking God, pour it in, pour it in, pour it in. I wonder if God's not asking us, pour it out.
Right.
Pour it out. Let that new song come forth. And the new song is in us. We just need to learn how to release it. And if you can't sing, we'll get you a scripture. Sing it. Pick up the Psalms. Read the Psalms. Sing the Psalm. It doesn't matter what kind of a tune it is. You know, I have a granddaughter that is was born with visually impaired. She's 30 years old almost. And, you know, a lot of songs and things, when you go, she can't see to read those. She doesn't know the words to them. And she has got to this point where that she sings a high harmony up above. She'll listen for the tune about the first time through a verse of the song. She'll listen for the high harmony. You hear her going, ah, singing with that. And, you know, and recently I was in a group where that I couldn't understand the words they were singing. And I just shut my mouth, started oohing and aahing. I mean, opened my mouth, shut my eyes. And so, you know, if you don't know some of the things that we sing here, just close your eyes and just begin to sing a ooh and an ah to the Lord. And just let your voice. And that's a joyful sound to Him. It's a sound of praise. It doesn't have to have words. It doesn't have to be audibly understood. It doesn't have to be operating. It does not have to be trained, but it's a joyful noise. He inhabits the praises of your people. The song is in us. The song is in us. We have to learn to release it. The praise is in us. We have to learn to release it. We have to learn to release it. Now, another thing praise will do, it will still the avenger. Now, the avenger is a, he will steal from you. The devil is the avenger. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you know, the more that we praise in a situation, the more God is able to fight the battle for us. Because what it does, it takes our focus off of the situation, and our focus is shifted up into the heavenlies. And our focus is not on that situation. Now, I've had people come up to me and say, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Anybody ever make that statement? Are you calling what God has created a bucket? Now think about it. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Are you calling this creature a bucket? God didn't create buckets, did he? No. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Begin to use your creative ability unto the Lord. Now, and it shifts from place to place. There are levels of praise. There are high praises. There are praises that come forth audibly. There's just a spirit that just seems to sweep over the place. And it's almost like you just feel it all over you. You just feel that spirit of praise in that particular place. You go into other places and, man, it's hard. It's really hard. And it's easy to minister when there's been a spirit of praise in the service. Now, my mother was not the best driver in the whole world. And she would accelerate, she'd get the car going so fast, and she'd take her foot off the gas. And that car would begin to slow down when she'd pick up speed. And then she'd turn around, here we go again. And she'd take her foot off the gas, and the car would slow down. And you know, this would be repeated numerous times just on a trip to town. But if we were going uphill, it was even worse. It was even worse. Now, some praise and worship seems to follow this same pattern. The praise is ascending and going well. Then all of a sudden, the song will change and deceleration will occur. Many times, it's not important what we're singing. The words are not important. We can sing the same song, the same praise, 50 times. It would be all right. You don't have to change. And sometimes I think God is more pleased with something that's simple and sing the same praise over and over again. That way people don't have to worry about it. Overheads are wonderful for people that don't know the songs and things like that. But I was really glad when the thing broke down here a few months ago because I didn't have to make a list. I could just say, Lord, what's next? What's next? And I appreciated that, but I know that there are times that you need to know the words, and sometimes you need. And by the way, there are some our database for the songs are back on the CD back at the back there, so those are available if you want the words to any of the songs. You can purchase those from Amanda back at the book table. And I'm not making a plug, but it's they're there if you need them. But this can cause the flow to be broken, and I know God's heart must be grieved when the flow is broken, when he's wanting to bless his people, when he's wanting to let his presence come in and overwhelm us. And that flow is broken because sometimes well-meaning people and well-meaning praise leaders have gotten out of order. And sometimes, you know, we just move things too quickly. Well, we've got to have this much music so that the word can go forth. Holy Spirit can do more in 2 seconds with you than a lot of ministers can do in 2 hours with you. And while I'm mentioning that, you know, we always say the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just drop this, and this is a freebie. His name is Holy Spirit. He is an entity all of his own, and he comes. He's not of thee. We don't say thee Christ or thee God. So address him by his name, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Holy Spirit, you know, come make your abode with us. Address him. Does that make sense? Yeah, so address him by his name and not call him a thee. You don't call me thee Jane or thee Carla. But address him by his name. But, and manipulation in praise and worship. I've seen services where the worship leader would manipulate people to stir up their emotions. And the more emotional they could get, and the more hooping and hollering and carrying on they could do, the more they felt like they'd been to service and been to church. And used to, they'd say, oh, we didn't even have any preaching today. We had such a glorious time. We didn't even have any preaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Now, sometimes we need these emotional, we need these times of bringing praise in, but there's a difference between emotionalism and true praise. There is a difference there. And true praise involves everybody in the building. And if it's emotionalism, there's just a few people that are performing, that are the center of attention. Attention-getting spirits are very relevant during praise and worship many times. So, and I don't want to caution you, I don't want you not to participate in praise and worship, but I want us to be conscious of the fact that there is a lot of things going on, and people calling it praise and worship when it's really not. It's not that at all. And so ask the Lord to make you sensitive to His Spirit. Not the spirit of what's going on in that room, but sensitive to His Spirit. And this is not what I'm supposed to teach on, but that's where I'm going in here. Emotionalism is not entering into worship. Remember, praise leads to worship. Worship leads to standing in the glory of God. We all have emotions. We need to express them from time to time. But when it's manipulated, it is not pleasing to God. When anything is manipulated, when deliverance is manipulated, that is not pleasing to God. And we have seen that from time to time, people being manipulated. Have you ever wondered about, you know, Scripture speaks about going up, and Jerry's always going up the mountain, taking people up the mountain. Have you ever wondered why it speaks of going up to Jerusalem? It talks about ascending to the holy hill, going up to the holy hill, up to the house of the Lord. This indicates that we're going up to a spiritual place, that we're moving higher. We're moving higher, one place than where we are here on earth. And we must ascend the mountain of the Lord to get to the place where true worship can occur and the glory will come in. Well, what is worship? What is worship? Worship is being shut in with God. Now, in praise, our will is involved. We decide if we're going to praise. We decide if we're going to be involved. It says, I will ascend. I will worship. But when we reach the realm of true worship, our will is no longer involved. You couldn't help yourself if you tried. And it just seemed like and I love it when it gets to that place when God's people are beyond help, really. I mean, when you talk about, they're beyond physical help because they are so intent and they're so caught up in the presence of God that they want to stay there. And so, now, have you ever noticed everybody talks about the Sunday morning worship service? Our Sunday morning worship service. You see on the marquees that worship is at 11. Worship is at 8:45. You see this on the billboards and the marquees. Come worship with us on Sunday is another one we see. Worship is a spirit that envelops the believer and it cannot be duplicated. They may have church services at 11, 9:45, but they may not have worship services. Just because a song brought us into worship in one service doesn't mean that it will do that every time. You know, it's like the anointing oil in the Old Testament that could not be duplicated. And people have tried to duplicate and tried to bring this from place to place to place to place. And God's not pleased with that. He's a God of variety. That's why He made us. If He wasn't a God of variety, we'd all look the same. That's why He made some of us skinny and some of us fat and some of us tall and some of us short while some of us have different colored hair. He's a God of variety. And He wants our worship and our praise to be a variety to Him. And so, God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. A true worshiper. And if you seek Him, He will bring you into true worship. And all that fluff and stuff will fall off. We don't need long, complicated songs for worship, just as I said a minute ago. And just a simple praise may be sufficient, all we need. Now, many of our praise songs, if you'll notice, are verb-oriented. Now, I'm a former teacher, and I'm teaching and homeschooling a grandson right now, and he's having all kinds of problems with verb tenses. He's having all kinds of trouble trying to figure out gerunds and gerund phrases and how this is used in subjects of sentences and complete verbs. He's having all kinds of problems with that. But if you think about our praise song that talks about the Lord heals, that is a present tense. That is a verb. It's an action. Healing is an action. The Lord saves, an action. The Lord delivers, there's another action. They focus on what God does. The praise focuses on what God does. In worship, we're focused on who He is. You repeat that. In praise, we focus on what God does. In worship, we focus on who He is. We sing the song, who was and is to come. This is focusing on Him. Focusing on Him. And so, there's an order that has to be done in the church in praise and worship. There's an old argument. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? We all have heard that. Some say the egg because you can't have a chicken without the egg. Some say the chicken because you can't have an egg without the chicken. And this is kind of cute. I thought that this was kind of cute. The Lord showed me that Holy Spirit is the rooster in the hen house. Our hen houses are gathered together, you know. You have a flock of chickens that gather together. We talk about the flock that's gathered in this place to worship. But the Holy Spirit is the one, He's the rooster in the hen house. We had this conversation not long ago. Can a chicken still lay eggs if there's no rooster? Well, what's part of the rooster in the hen house? So I had to explain some of the birds and bees things to my 12-year-old granddaughter. But without Him, the Holy Spirit, there would be no fertilized eggs, or there would be no reproduction in the body of Christ. Without the rooster in the hen house, there can be no reproduction. Now, these hens that they have for commercial egg layers that they're not trying to have for hatcheries, they lay eggs all day long. They look the same. They look just like a fertilized egg. Christians, people come into the churches, we may all look alike, but we need to be fertilized with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Fertilized with the Holy Ghost. Live hope with Holy Spirit. And so that we can bring forth. Without the Holy Spirit, or without Holy Spirit, I have trouble with that too. See, I'm still learning on that one. Without Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot produce life for ourselves or for anyone else. We had a batty hen, a little small hen. Now, my son and his family live next door to us. In fact, they're almost in our front yard. I guess they are. But he has a bunch of chickens, and he likes to let them run loose. And I hate chickens running loose. I mean, I was raised taking care of chickens, and lots of chickens, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. And I know. But these just run loose. They get in the garden. They destroy everything they can get into. But we have this one little banny hen. And here she comes out one day. And she's got 14 little baby chickens with her. 14 babies she's hatched out. No one knew that she was even setting on the eggs. But here she comes and she takes care of her little flock. And it was a surprise. It was a surprise of her taking care of us. And, you know, sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit is a surprise as to how he works and how He works in our lives and how He works in the praise and worship services. It's just sometimes it's just really interesting to watch Him work to see what He wants to do. We've got to get out of the way, people. We got to get out of the way. We got to quit holding on to our pet doctrines and our sacred cows. We got to quit holding on to this is the way we've always done it. This is the way God moves. This is the way it's always been, and we're not going to change it. We're not willing to change. We want to keep it just like it is. If you keep doing the same thing over and over, the same way, over and over and over again, guess what? You're going to get the same results over and over and over and over again. So, enthusiasm needs to come back into the body of Christ. Enthusiasm for worship. Enthusiasm for hearing the word of the Lord. Enthusiasm for praise. These things all need to be restored in the kingdom of God. Well, you know, I just like to be quiet and reverent in a church. I get so quiet and reverent, it's not hard for me to fall asleep. If you don't believe that, just sit next to me and I'll show you. But You know, if the unity, according to Webster's, is the state of being in complete agreement. Now, it is continuity without deviation or change, as in purpose or action. The lack of unity will keep the anointing from flowing in our lives, and will also keep it from flowing in the church. If you're not in agreement with something, or you're not in unity with something, then you are in disunity. You might say, well, it's just a difference of opinion, or I believe this, or I believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe or what you don't believe. If it's not in agreement with the Word, it's in disunity. And that is the first thing we have to come in agreement with, is the Word of God. Come in, and you know, God doesn't care what color carpet is in your church. And I've known people that get mad because they didn't get the color of carpet that they wanted for that church, and they get up and leave and take their junk and their trash with them to the next, up the road to the next church, and they begin to spew all this stuff, all this venom. Guess what? They didn't gain anything. Yeah. Well, I'll just stay home. I'll go to the church first chain. I'll just stay home. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You may think you don't need the body, but the body needs you.
Amen.
Now, there's some areas you may say, well, the Word's not clear on this. What do I do with this? Then these take a lot of consideration, and you may have to do some fasting, and you may have to do some prayer. Now, we don't have any problem with prayer, but fasting is something we don't like to do. We don't like to deny our flesh. We don't like to deny ourselves. But sometimes we have to do this in order to find out God's will and find out what He wants in this situation. And remember, Jesus was casting out demons one day, and He said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. All right. In Psalms 23, it says, thou anointest my head with oil. Now, the head is where your thinker is, okay, or your mind. And every thought comes in through the mind. And the mind is a filter, like a filter. And the thought comes in, and you can filter it into your spirit, or you can filter it into your flesh, wherever you want it to go. It's what you do with the thoughts that are important. If the Holy Spirit is in unity with your spirit, then the thought would be okay. But if there is a check or a question, then you better spend some more time before you make a decision on that particular thing. During times of revival, we see that the glory of the Lord comes in many cases. Now, revival, many people think, well, oh, if we can just get them to come to this revival, they'll be saved. Revival is for you. It's for the saints. It's for them to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be built up. And if you get yourselves built up and you get yourselves right with God, you'll go out and witness and get the lost saved and then bring them into the cell. It should be a celebration. Church should be a celebration for the saints. And it should also be a hospital for wounded saints.
Amen.
But many times I've heard the expression that Christians are the only ones that kill their wounded.
Yeah.
And we're going to wound one another from time to time. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to wallow around in that? Are you going to allow somebody else to wallow around in that when you know they've been offended? Well, they just have to get over it. You know, sometimes getting over it's hard, isn't it? Yes. And if you allow offenses to pile up, then you've got a lot to get over, a lot to forgive. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. You may have to walk the floor and say, I choose not to be offended. I choose not to be offended. I choose not to be offended. It's a choice that you make, whether you're going to take that offense and you're going to wallow in it, or you're going to give it up to the Lord so that you can be in unity with Him and unity with one another. And if you can't love your brother, whom you have seen, how can you love God, whom you have not seen? Yeah, but you just don't know what they did to me. I don't care. And that may be ugly, but I don't care what they did to you. Get over it. Grow up. Sometimes the body of Christ needs to grow up. Sometimes we look for things to be offended.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody, well, she's just so touchy. You know, I just hate to say anything. there, get over it. If you're touchy, get over it. Toughen up. Toughen up. It's time that the body of Christ, we got too much work to do to see the lost saved and see them filled with the Holy Spirit and see them delivered and set free to sit here and fuss and fight among ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
The church is so disunified because of quarreling and fighting and fussing that's going on. Every great move has melted men's hearts. And those that disagreed over such petty things as doctrine, strife, and bitterness begin to flow together in unity. Denominations need to cease.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, the thing is, we put more stock in our denomination and what our denomination believes than we do in letting God have His way in our hearts and our lives. If you can't go to the Baptist church and worship with them, I feel sorry for you. If you can't go to a Methodist church and worship with them, I feel sorry for you. You can even worship God in a Catholic church. That doesn't mean that you're participating in what they're doing. You can still, if you set your heart and your affections on things above, you can still worship Him no matter where you are. But we have to protect our denomination. We have to protect our superintendent. We have to protect the hierarchy and the government of the church. Amen? It's time that we lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us and begin to run the race. Get in the race. Get in the race. Get in the race and run with patience. The race is set before us because there's a work to be done. The world is dying and going to hell while we're sitting here fussing and fighting amongst ourselves. Ooh, I didn't mean to say all that, did I? But, you know, in the scripture says in Matthew 5:9, I could live in the Sermon on the Mount very easily. I could, because there's so much in it. It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers? I wonder what you're called if you're not a peacemaker. What? I didn't hear that. Troublemaker. Every church seems to have one, don't they? Maybe two or three ruler spirits. Ruler spirits in that place, yeah. God is calling us to be peacemakers, to make people aware. It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. If you allow strife and contention to come in, then you're wrong. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Give in. You know, there's two kids having an argument. I have a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old that I'm homeschooling right now. And boy, they want to get into it, and I'll tell them, hush, I'm not going to listen to that, no more of that. And they are determined to have the last word. One says one thing, and the other one says something else, and something else, and something else, and something else. That's the way the troublemakers are in the church. They're determined to have the last word. And but, you know, most of us know what it's like when our natural families have falling out, don't we?
Yeah.
And I hate conflict, especially in family. And I hate that worse than anything. But, and they'll alienate themselves from the rest of the family, or they won't go around the rest of the family. Now, what about in the church? Do we alienate ourselves from other believers?
Yes.
Some people will sit on one side of the church and they will not look at Sister So-and-so on the other side. She didn't even bother to speak to me this morning. What about you? Did you go ask her? What's we laughing about? Was that you?
Yeah.
And you, all right. But if you're a peacemaker, rather than taking offense, what did you do? You didn't turn your nose up there because she didn't speak to you? Maybe it was your place to go speak to her. See, a lot of times we are the cause of the offense. We're the cause of the disunity that comes because we think somebody else is not acting like they should. But what about our own actions? We're not responsible for what anybody else does. We're only responsible for how we react to what they do. And if you allow them, because they didn't speak to you, if you now have to put something between you and them, then you need to pray through. I'll just put it honest with you. You need to pray through. Now, The natural families, when we have alienations with them, it is so hard. My husband and his brother had problems over property. A number of years ago, the brother moved to Colorado, didn't come home for his mother's funeral or his father's funeral. And it was probably 2 or 3 years later, we prayed for him. And he came walking up the steps, the door. He didn't know how we were going to receive him. But he came walking up, his head was down, and so discouraged and so despondent he was. But I'm so thankful that God brought the restoration between my husband and his brother before my husband passed away.
Hallelujah.
And you know, restoration is what God is wanting for the body of Christ.
Yes.
He restoreth my soul.
Yes.
Your soul is your mind. It's your thinker. It's your will. It's your emotions. It's what you think with. He restoreth my soul. And God is in the restoration business today. He wants to restore. He wants to sand off the rough places in us. He wants to... One of my daughter-in-laws has been doing some stuff, furniture she calls stressed. I don't know if you, but she'll take it and she'll put the paint here and something else and she'll swipe around. And it looks pretty good when she gets done. But God is wanting to de-stress us today. He is wanting to get rid of those things. And those little things, those little nitpicking things, those little thoughts that we have that are not like Him. He wants us whole. He wants us whole because there's a work for you and me to do. There is a calling on our lives. We're being responsible. You that sit here in this meeting this afternoon, there is a calling that you're responsible for what you've heard here today. You're responsible for what you hear in this weekend. And if you go home and you throw it off and you say, oh, there's nothing to that, you are responsible. You have to make a response to it. You either reject it or you accept it and you go forth in victory. You go forth in victory. And that's what God has designed for His people. That's what He said, that we would be in victory.
Yes.
Why do we have so many churches of every kind?
Mm-hmm.
In the small area where I live, within a 5-mile radius of the little town that I live in, there I counted, I think, 12 or 13 churches. In a little bitty town with a population of 1,500, that many churches? My goodness, I wonder who got mad at you and moved up the road. That's the first thing people want to do is they get mad and want to move up the road and start another church. Is God pleased with this? Churches that are formed out of strife don't usually last very long. You can drive through towns and see lots of empty buildings where there used to be a church. Why is it that everyone wants to set themselves up as the elite? And that their way is right and no one else's way, and we're more correct than anyone else. I'm sure God would find fault with every one of us because we've left our first love. We have allowed these things to come in and to separate us, to bring separation into the body of Christ, and He's not pleased with that. I believe that in the days that are ahead of us, and we're going to suffer some rough days coming along, because He says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I haven't been persecuted, and I'm sure many of you have not been persecuted. But in the days ahead, there's probably going to come some persecution on the church. We're already beginning to see that in small places, in small ways. You can read accounts in the newspaper of the pastors in Houston that, you know, they refuse to back down. Wonderful, wonderful. Those pro-abortionists that refuse to step down and step back. Wonderful, wonderful, standing up for the things that are taught in the Bible, the things of God's Word. But I believe that the more glory that we experience in the future, then the more unity will come. The more unity that we have, then the more glory will come into our lives. Because we're at peace with Him. We're at peace with our fellow man. He said, no good thing will He withhold from them that love Him. You know, when all your family comes in at Christmas time, oh, there's so much chaos. Grandkids and great-grandkids opening gifts and noise, and everybody is just as noisy. And man, you think, I don't know how I'm going to understand all this noise in this house. And then I love family gatherings. But, you know, it's so nice when they leave and it's quiet once again. Amen? Yeah. So, you know, there's unity in the home again. Not that all these things are bad, but you know, you got kids fussing over toys and somebody trying to be the center of attention. And then when it's just you and your husband and God in the home, it just really makes it peaceful, you know. So that's what God is wanting to do. We will have to walk in unity in the last days. If we're to see the signs that are to follow the believers, he said, in my name we'll be cast out devils, and we're doing that. We would lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. Well, we pray for them and say, are you better? Are you better? Are you better? Feel better? The word says we're healed. The manifestation just hasn't come yet. And the lame will see the lame walk. I would love to see the time when I could lay my hands on my granddaughter and see her see with her eyes. But you know, when she was born, I was just devastated almost, because we'd had four sons. I have two brothers. And so, you know, we didn't have any little girls. And here was this little baby girl. And when I found out she was blind, it was very devastating. She was a Lord minister to me, and she says, she sees me just like you do, in the spirit. And she has such a sweet spirit about her. She's been here a time or two. Some of you may have seen her. But that just really ministered to me. She sees the Lord just like we do. And so, but I want to see her seeing with her physical eyes. I want to see lame men walking. In some of the foreign countries, third world countries, these things are happening. But we are too convenient in the United States. We are too much trying to prove ourselves and trying to promote ourselves. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, he says, learn to be a servant of all. I don't think you're automatically born a servant. I think you learn to be a servant. I think you learn that. And so, we need God to change our thinking, to change the way that we view other people. Sometimes there are things in us that we don't even realize the effect that they have on other people. Sometimes it's like a dark cloud that just passes over us, and we don't even realize that it's caused some bad attitudes or some prejudices concerning the people around us. We need to let God's glory bathe our soul. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Our stinking thinking. We've all heard that, and we have it. And so God's glory will drive away the shadows that's brought the disruption to our lives. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. That's from Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 6. Again, we're speaking about a hill. The shadows flee away. These things that are clouding your vision, these things that are keeping you from having unity, when they flee away, then you're going to be able to ascend up into the mountain of the Lord, up where he is, and be in his presence. But you don't think about God's horn of oil. He has an eternal horn of oil. I mean, just waiting to pour out his anointing on ministries and on positions. Because it says we're seated together with him in heavenly places. And there are governments that you and I don't even know. We have to walk in his anointing. In order to do that, we have to lay aside our differences. Lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Now, God is examining our hearts to see what our attitude is towards one another. He examines us to see. You know, we would be wise to begin praying for unity in the body of Christ. And Lord, if I am a source of contention, if I am a thorn, then remove me, help me to be removed from that. You know, if you stick a splinter in your hand, and you look at that thing and you see that pus and stuff that begins to go up around that thing, and you just leave it in there, and you leave it in there, and it just gets sore and sore and sore and sore. But if you open that up and you get that splinter out of there, then healing occurs. So if you have contentious thoughts against a brother, get that out of there and let the healing occur. Now, God chooses who he will for special anointings. Look at the case of Jesse when he came to Samuel when he came to Jesse. He says, I've come to find the king. And so Jesse said, oh, I've got all these sons. So he brings the first one up. He said, well, that's the oldest. He'll choose him. Samuel looked at him and said, that's not the one. That's not the one. Another son passes by. That's not the one. Another one passes by. That's not the one. Now, probably all of the sons would have been qualified to be king, but they were not God's choice. So, when he asked if there was another one, he said, oh, there's just a little old shepherd going out there tending the sheep and singing his psalms till he's gone. And just because you're qualified doesn't mean that you're the person to fill a position. And a lot of people get in positions that they don't belong to. And that breaks the unity between you and the Holy Spirit. It breaks that unity. And so, David was the most unlikely choice, a candidate, but he was God's choice. David certainly wouldn't have won an election, would he? There is a special anointing that's available to bring unity among believers. And you know, when you get into a small group of intimate believers and I love small group settings because there is a unity that develops there and a trust that develops there that is different from when you get in a large place. And so it seems like that there's very special anointing and special presence of the Lord in those places. It's going to become very vital in the end time ministries that we have these little, and I believe firmly that there are little pockets of believers that are scattered all over this world that are interceding. And it's not going to be a big name church because the government can shut these things down. They can shut these down without any problem. And they're getting tighter and tighter and tighter with their regulations against churches and contributions. But these little small pockets of believers, there's a light there. There's a light there. There's the glory of the Lord is shining there for them. We cannot carry the anointing to others if we're not living in the fullness of the anointing ourselves. This means that we must live in unity and harmony with other believers. We have to lay aside our desires and our wishes, and we have to submit them along with our personalities. Because you've heard people have personality clashes. We have to submit these to the Lord. John 17 is another favorite scripture for me, verse 20 through 23. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Being one is mentioned five times. That means it must be important, doesn't it, for him to mention it so on. And oneness is nothing more than unity. Unity. Being one. Isn't it strange that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he uttered this prayer? Isn't it strange that he would be there about to be betrayed and about to die, and he was praying for oneness among the body. He was praying for it, that they would become one. And so we must have fellowship with God and with our fellow man. Without unity, the body is crippled and weak. This is the reason that the church is so weak today, is because of there is no unity, because of the lack of unity. You might say, well, how can we become one? How can we become unified across the world? Now, the world is mentioned several times in this passage just as well. We have different cultures. We have different languages. Then how can we become one? Well, we've had great revivals in the past few years. There's been a lot of increase of knowledge and understanding. A lot of new ministries have risen up. But unity does not happen because we all believe the same thing. Unity comes because of the glory of God. And you can don't believe the same thing as your neighbor, but yet you can still have unity with him. Now, we all want God's glory, don't we? But what's the reason for wanting it? What we consider to be of utmost importance, God may not think is important at all. And what we have on our agenda may not be his agenda at all. I think the psalmist David said one day that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of I forget the rest of that, but he was content to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. God wants to join brother to brother and sister to sister, believer to believer. Look at the Great Commission. Go into all the world. He didn't say go into all the world and have a fuss with your neighbor. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach the people. And the gospel is good news. Unity and fussing and fighting is not good news.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.